The following message is brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Amen, amen, amen. You can just keep playing for a few more minutes, but just a little softer. Amen. Sometimes the Lord said he's not in the wind, he's not in the fire, but sometimes he's just in a still, quiet voice. And there is a word from God today. And before we receive the word, we just want to thank God for just allowing us to be here. Amen. Amen. We bless God for being in the house today. We bless God for being in the house today. We bless God for being in the house today. Amen. Amen. We bless him. We bless him. It is good. It is a good thing to be in the presence of Jehovah. Amen. And I just want to thank him today for his goodness and his mercy. And I count it an honor, actually, to stand to deliver a word from the Lord. Amen. God, we come to you right now and just want to say thank you. Oh, God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And that you would enlarge our territory. And God, we pray that your hands will be with us today. And we pray that you, God of Israel, would keep us from evil. And our honest prayer is that we would not cause pain. And as you did for Jabez, we ask that you say that our request is granted today. That you might be glorified and your children might be fed. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can still stand on your feet. In fact, our title of our lesson message today is Starting with a Deficit. And I'm flipping on my husband, but he's going to run with me today. Amen. First of all, let me give honor to my priest of the home, my husband, Minister Moses Porter, and to my pastor who allowed me this opportunity. And to my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm ready to run with God this morning. Starting with a deficit, 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, verse 9. I have 10 in there, but I think I'm going to park it in verse 9. Amen. And just see where the Lord takes us this morning. And if you have it, say amen. And I think it's up. So I'm going to read from the King James this morning. And it said, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Well, I might as well go to verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. Oh, God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy mighty hand will be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested, starting with a deficit. Amen. You can have a seat. Amen. Amen. Starting with a deficit. You know, we always like to start off in a positive, but God said, I want you to tell them this morning, I'm looking at, and we're going almost like the Sunday school. We're in the Old Testament, and I just had to allow myself to just sit and have them have this discussion about being called and chosen, because God had already given me the assignment to talk about Jabez this morning. And but starting with a deficit. Normally, when you have a deficit, you think in terms of finance. I'm sure it was $5,000. But I only have two. That's a deficit. Our country is in a deficit. Spiritually, morally, ethically. I mean, we're in a deficit, which means that there's a shortage of that which is holy, that which is right, that which is of the presence of Jehovah. And so he said, tell them, there's a, I'm starting with or in a deficit, but I'm needing a repair. And I've come to give you the repairman this morning, the restorer this morning, the builder, the rebuilder this morning, so that we can get out of the deficit and into the positive. Amen. So let's look at this morning. A deficit, a shortage, something that is lacking. And when there is a shortage, someone has to begin to make it up. And we're going to look at how this young man called Jabez this morning did it. The scripture said, and Jabez was more honorable than all than his brethren. Now, it almost as if it started with the end and then it jumped back to the beginning. And then it said, and his mother called him Jabez. Now, he's honorable now above all the others, doing that which he know is right to do, doing the all that he know that God desires for him to do, to know to do right, but actually to have it in your mind and in your heart that God, I want to honor you by doing that which is right because I want you to be pleased with my life. So the scripture said he was more honorable than the family. It didn't say how many brothers he had. Scripture doesn't even give us his mother's name. But somehow she enters into the story because in order to understand the life of someone, you must go back to the genesis of it. How did I get in debt? How did I end up in a deficit? A deficit is I am short. And I need to find out how before I call the repairman. Amen? And there's a shortage, and I need to know what happened. And so the scripture comes back to, and his mother called him Jabez, because she bore him in pain. Now, this young man from the tribe of Judah, now, Chronicle is just calling all these names, names after names after names after name. And in the midst of all of calling the names, they put a story of a young man, and it's only two verses about him. You don't even have to go home and say, well, I'm going to research. I'm telling you in advance, there's only two verses on the life of Jabez. Now, there is more about his life, but the scripture didn't say it. So we're going to ride with what was revealed, what was shared. And so two sentences telling the life of a young man. And it said that his mother bore him in pain from the tribe of Judah, the house of praise. But his mother, I don't know what happened. Something happened. Normally, childbirth is what I have been told is a painful process before the delivery, during the delivery. During the delivery, something happened to Jabez's mother. And it was so much pain that she called him pain. Now, I want you to understand it. She was in so much pain that when she saw him, she called him pain. She made her son a memorial of her pain. When is the last time that you have made your pain a memorial for the next generation? They heard me, I'm going to tell it to my son, I'm going to tell it to my daughter, I'm going to tell it to my niece, I'm going to tell my nephew, and there's a generation of pain. And it looks pretty bad. Now, you have to understand, in biblical time, a name really meant something. You know, so for her to prophesy and declare pain on her son, it was major. Do you understand? When they call him, come here, pain, come here, pain. Everybody knew his name was Jabez. And what happened? How would they treated him? What did they say to him? Pain, pain, pain. Pain, come get me some water. Pain, come do me this. Pain, you better stop. Pain, you need to stand still. Pain, pain, pain. A reminder of his birth, not of his future. And we must be very careful when we endure pain that it does not journey with us forever. You're talking about something that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, when I was a child. You're 40, you're 50. You are memorializing your pain like Jabez's mother did. And it almost cost him his future. You understand that Solomon was called peace. And for 40 years as king, he was the first king who actually had peace. But his mother called him peace. Peace. But Jabez's mother called him pain. And so we're going to look at peace. No, we're going to look at pain. And then we're going to look at this other one called Jacob. Jacob, the patriarch family, you know, the royal family in the group. I mean, there's none higher beyond Jesus Christ, the anointed one, than Abraham's family. This was Abraham's grandson, Isaac's son. Isaac and Rebekah wanted a son. And they could, and Rebekah was barren, according to Genesis 25 and 21. And Jacob prayed, and Isaac prayed that Rebekah would give birth. So he went and he entreated God. God, open my wife's womb. God, I need you to open her womb and bless her. And God blessed her and gave her two. Esau and Jacob. Esau came out first, red-headed, full of energy. But Jacob got the heel of his brother. He took hold of it at birth. Grabbed it at birth. Came out. And they call him Jacob the supplanter. Do you understand? The royal family call their son the trickster. A supplanter. One that is always trying to get hold of something. And Jacob got a hold of his inheritance illegally. God was going to give it to him. But they couldn't figure it out. Him, his mama couldn't figure it out. So they illegally got the blessing. But oh, I come to tell you, whether you get it illegally in the spirit or illegally in the natural, there's always a price to pay when you get it illegally. So we got Jacob, their supplanter, Jabez, the one that caused pain. Jacob from the royal family, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And I don't even know if we even know if some of you have even heard of Jabez. He's just like they just dropped him in Chronicles. But God loved Jacob just as much as he loved Jabez, and both was important. So I decided to do an analysis of both of them, a comparison and an analysis, so we can take a look at their two lives. And because Jabez had gotten this death sentence, he did something and went someplace that only God could go. He said, "Oh, God of Israel." He called on the God of Israel. "Oh, God of Israel, I'm in trouble. Oh, God of Israel, I need help. Oh, God of Israel, I need you to bless me. Indeed. Now, he's talking about the God of Israel. You got to understand, Israel, Jacob, is Israel. Jacob deceived his brother. And as a result, he had to leave his home. And years went by that he didn't see his brother Esau. Got married, had children, prosperity seemed like it was flowing out of the waters. But there was a word from God, because they weren't treating it right. And so God says, it's time for you to go home. Oh, it's a terrible thing when you got to go home and you ain't did nothing. You had made amends. God said, it's time for you to go home. And he had to meet his brother. And he didn't know how his brother was going to take it. And I want to show you his prayer first. Genesis 32, verse 9. And he should have it up. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of Isaac, God of my father Isaac, the Lord was said unto me, return unto your country and to your kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I'm not worthy of the least of all these mercies, of all the truth which thou hast shown unto thy servant, for which my staff I have passed over this Jordan, and now I am become to win. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, deliver me from the hand of my brother, that from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the child. Left on running, 20 plus years later, he had to meet his brother. And he prayed because he did not have peace about it. He prayed because when he left his brother wanted to kill him. And God said, I need you to go home and it's going to be well. He said, I don't know if you're talking about me, God. It was not well when I left. And so he sent gifts before. You know how sometimes you want to give people gifts? He sent gifts to make the way easier. But Esau was already blessed. He didn't need his gifts. But he sent it anyway. But God had a plan to bring restoration, because even though Jacob was blessed, even though Jacob had his wives and his children and he had prospered, there was one area that he had not prospered. He was deficit in it. He was short in it because he had not met his brother and made peace. Oh, you're going to have to make peace. Oh, my sisters and brothers, you're going to have to make peace. If you want the shortage to stop, you will have to make peace. And so what Jacob did, he said, I'm going to send my family over. And then I got to have one more meeting with God. Oh, he didn't accept the gift. I don't know how my brother's going to take it. So he went to God again. It's all right to go to God again. God, I'm coming again. I'm getting closer to my brother. And I don't know if he's going to meet me in peace or have a sword to take me out. But you said it will be well. I am afraid. I heard what you said, but I am afraid. And so Jacob and God had an encounter again. And so go with me in the same verse, same chapter, verse 32, verse 24, Genesis 32, verse 24. I'm coming back to Jabez, but I want to take Jacob a second. Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob, Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he prevailed, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go." That's Jacob. No, the angel said, "Let me go for the daybreaker." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And he said, "Thy name, what?" And he said, "What is thy name?" And he said, "My name is Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall no more be Jacob, because, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and have prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Well, then tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob wrestled with an angel. He wrestled with God. You know, we were talking about this morning, how God presented himself in different forms. But Jacob wrestled until he found peace. And he said to him, "I'm not going to let you go until you give me peace that all will be well. I need a divine intervention, and no one else can help me. Not my wives, not my kids, not my cattle, not my all the riches that I have acquired over the 20 years. None of that can help me. I need a divine intervention, a hand that only God can do. And I'm going to hold on here until I hear the word, I'm going to take you through." Now, God had already told them it will be well. But he wrestled because inside of him, he did not think God could do it. But God allowed a wrestling match to go on. Now, you know God. You know God. God and a human being, and God could not allow the angel to prevail. God, Almighty God, who spoke, "Let there be light," and it is. God, the one who brought them out of Egypt. God, we're talking about the God who spoke and things happened. You mean to tell me that God could not knock this mortal human being down and say, "Sit down until I tell you to stop"? He said, "No, I'm not going to let you go. I need you. You got to be desperate enough." He was desperate for an answer from God, because he had to meet his brother. And he said, "God, I know it's daybreak, but I still don't feel I got my breakthrough." Have you ever prayed and you didn't feel you got your breakthrough? Maybe you need to stay a little longer and say, "I'm going to hold on until I see the light of the cross coming in and giving me a break. I need a breakthrough." And so he held on. When is the last time you held on to God? And God changed his name. What's your name? Jacob. He said, "You will no more be called the trickster, the supplanter, always taking that which you did not earn." Now, the last 20 years, he did work now. He did labor. He did humble himself. He did understand that the trickster can be tricked. Oh, he understood. He came to a place that he recognized that he screwed up, but he hadn't made the right connect. He hadn't made it to the one who he had offended, which was his brother. And so, after the wrestling match, which really in reality, God just allowed him to exercise himself. You know, "I'm going to let you exalt yourself until you get tired." You know, sometimes you tell your kids, "Well, just let them go in the room. Let them just brew until they get tired. And then they will come back and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do?" God said, "I wanted you to know that I'm going to bless you. You've got the peace." And so his name was called Israel, he prevailed with God and man. He wrestled with God. He wrestled with man and he prevailed. When is the last time you wrestle with something and prevail? Oh, we wrestle with envy, but we don't prevail. Oh, we wrestle with jealousy, but we don't prevail. God said, I come to tell you, you have the power to prevail because you are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and Israel prevailed. Even after he wronged his brother, he prevailed because he came in the spirit of humility. You can't come asking for forgiveness with a haughty spirit. Well, you know, I really didn't do anything. Yes, you did. You did. Help me. Forgive me. And after that, God moved. God allowed the two brothers to meet, and they made peace. He's trying to give him more stuff. He said, I don't want your stuff. I got plenty. He said, look, I got plenty. Esau said, I have plenty. God has blessed me too. I don't want your stuff, because store up in heaven, there are blessings with my name on it, and that's what I want. So we go back to this young man named Jabez. He said, oh, God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me. Indeed. And enlarge my territory. He called on God because he needed a divine intervention. My mother called me pain. And I don't want to cause pain, and you're the only one that can help me so that I will not become what my name said I am. I am not who you say I am. I am who God says I am. I am who God says I am. Oh, I don't care if you was a trickster. I don't care what you did in the past. Once you come under the blood, you are who God says you are. And God said you are his child. Walk like the daughter of the King of Glory. Walk like the son of the King of Glory. Don't let anyone make you become other than what God has called you to be. Israel prevailed. Jabez said, God, enlarge my territory. I need you to bless me. I need you to impart a favor, supernatural favor. There are some things we're asking people to do and they can't do it. There are some miracles. God still performed miracle, Kim. And he is saying, ask the Savior to help you. Oh, he's willing. He's able to help you. But you got to ask the Savior. We don't sing it. Ask the Savior to help you. He asked God, God, bless me indeed. I need a blessing. Indeed. And you're the only one that can give it. I need a miracle. I need an intervention. Not the one that have two people in, one on one side, one on the other, and then the intervention person is in the middle. I need God as my divine intervention. You're the only one that can change my future. My future looks bleak. And I'm coming to you and ask you, will you change it for me? And then after he said, enlarge my territory, change it, make my life better than what my mother thought it could be. I just need your hands to go with me. He said, God, if your hand go with me. God, if you would just walk with me. God, if you would just talk with me. I've read about you, God. You know, you got to understand, Jabez knew about God because they told the story. We don't tell our children the story of our deliverance. The God who delivered them from Egypt. Then the God who delivered them from the wilderness. God is a deliverer. And so he went to the deliverer and said, I need you to restore my future. Because I know you had a better future than what my mother declared me. What are you declaring over the next generation? What are you speaking about then? That they'll have to go to God and ask him to have a divine intervention so that their future would look brighter. And then he said, God, I pray that you would keep me from evil. Can you keep me from evil? I know evil is going to come, but I need you to give me wisdom of how to navigate in and out of stuff so I'll know what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and I know when to speak and when to not speak. I need you to teach me so I will not cause pain. Do you understand? His prayer was, God, help me not to cause pain. And God, according to the book, granted him his request. And he said, oh, God of Israel. Oh, you got to. Oh, when I read that this morning, I almost jumped. He called on the God of Israel. Oh, God of Israel. There is no God like the God of Israel. Remember, the God of Israel changed a man who was a supplanter, a trickster, into a prince of God. A man who prevailed. He said, I need what you did with Israel. And you changed him. You changed his name. You don't have to change my name. You have to change Israel's character. Jacob's character had to be changed. Jabez said, I need you to change my destiny. Because my destiny is not good, according to my mother. And I am asking you to change it so that my future looks bright. And I've come to tell you, we're descendants of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And he's come to change our future so that we can get out of the red and into the black. No more deficit. Now, I want you to understand, all of us are in debt to sin. All of us have a deficit with sin. But Jesus, the anointed one, he came and paid the price. And when he paid it in full. Not on installment plans. You know how you can pay installment plans and it works, layaway plan, it works. The blood had to work one time. Now, they had blood before. They had lambs before. I want you to understand, they had lambs before, but this was a perfect lamb, really without sin. Because every time they did that regular lamb, they had to come back every year. But Jesus said, I'm going in once. I'm not going in 50 million times. I'm going in once. And I want the blood that's shed to be enough to cover from generation to generation to generation to generation, because the blood still works. We ought to get excited every time we have communion, because it reminds us that we owe a debt that we could not pay. And Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin have left a crimson stain, but he, the anointed one, he, the Christ, have made it. He made us whole again. So we owe him our life, because we're free now from the penalty of death. We're free. We're free. I want you to take that in for a second. We are free because of what the blood did. And Jesus paid it all for us. And he said, if you lack anything, just ask me. Ask me what you need. I will give you what you need. You're asking for a blessing for material things. And he said, I want you to begin to pray a prayer like Jabez. He said, oh, God of Israel, that you will bless me indeed. Bless my soul. Bless my future. Bless me so that I will bring you honor. I want to bring you honor. I want to bring you glory. I want someone to look at my life and say, look at the handprints of God. Christian, God is going to do it. God did it. And he will do it for you. He will. So that you will have a testimony that no one else. I won't be able to tell how he healed you. I won't be able to tell how he turned it around. But you can tell your story. I can tell my story. He did it. God did it. And it is time for us to cling to the altar where the blood is still coming down. Do you understand? This cross that they have is symbolic, but in reality, the blood is all over it. In reality, the blood is still dripping. It doesn't matter if anyone doesn't come every Sunday and ask for it. He said the blood is still active and alive, and the blood will do it. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Your degrees can't do it. I don't care how many degrees you get. You can have a bachelor, a master's, a PhD, whatever it is. The blood is the only thing that will cleanse you from sin's grip. The blood. The blood. Oh, the blood. It gives me strength. When I get weak, when I get weak, not if I get weak, when I get weak, the blood gives me strength from day to day. And it said the blood will never lose its power. It won't lose it. I promise you it won't lose it. It's enough to cover you for whatever you're going through. It's enough to regulate your mind, to cause you to think, to turn another way that is holy, that is right. But blood can do it. And I thank him today for the blood. I thank him. I said, God, how am I going to do this? He said, just ride with me. I struggled with this one. Like I've never struggled with a message before. This one was a struggle because I needed to understand how it is to struggle. Listen, you're going to go through life and you're going to have to struggle through some stuff. But don't forget that the blood will give you strength to prevail. The blood will give you strength. I don't care who you are. If you feel weak today and you don't think you can make it, I got good news. The blood is here to give you strength. No longer a deficit, because the repairman is Jesus Christ. The restorer is Jesus Christ. The one who can reconcile us is Jesus Christ. I don't care who you got to talk to. I don't care who you got to make amends with. If you would just do like Jacob and park a little longer in your knees and say, Jesus, help me. I got to go see my brother. I got to go see my sister. I don't know if they're going to forgive me or not. But I just need you to give me peace that when I do it, I'm released. He's come to give us a release so that we might be a blessing to somebody else. So that we might be a blessing. I thank God for the honorable young man named Jabez, who was more honorable than all his brethren. Only because he sought the King of Kings and asked him to change his future. Won't you ask God today to change your future so that you can have a life where God is glorified, God is exalted, God is the King. And when you stand before him, which we all will, you'll hear that voice that said, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things, just a little. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. He's always compelling us to go high. He wants us to go what? High. I was Jacob, now I'm Israel. I had a bad future, but I got connected with Jesus Christ, and our future looks bright. I don't care what they say in this country. I don't care how, what goes on in this country. The house of God, the believers of God should be the one who's standing up and say that, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it, but I know that you're going to protect us. I know that you're going to bless us because my future is in your hands, not the president of the United States. No, 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 no. My future is in the hands of God. And because of that, I've come to tell you, don't be discouraged about what you saw this week. I want you to know that God said, I got your future. I got you. I got you. And it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It will be all right. Not because I said it, but because the King of Glory have said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, so that we can boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me, because God is with me. May God bless you, may heaven smile upon you, and may you prevail. May you prevail. The word is prevail. I shall prevail. Because God said I can, and I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. Who give me strength, Sister Rose. He will give you strength if you just ask the Savior to help you. He's willing. He's able. Why don't you ask him?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.